Ete all these. Sakayaha, male friends. Sakyaha, female associates. May, my. Naraha, men. Naryaha, women. Cha, and. Manada,
O very respectful one.
Suptayam, while sleeping. Mahi, I am. Jagarti, keeps awake. Nagaha, snake. I am this. Palayan, protecting. Purim, this city. So translation, my dear gentleman, all these men and women with me are known as my friends. And the snake, who always remains awake, protects this city even during my sleeping hours. So much I know, I do not know anything beyond this. So you can repeat, my dear gentlemen.
All these men and women,
with me, are known as my friends. And the snake,
who always remains awake,
protects this city,
even during my sleeping hours.
So much I know,
I do not know anything beyond this.
And so purport by Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Paranjana inquired from the woman about those 11 men and their wives and the snake. The woman gave a brief description of them. She was obviously without full knowledge of her surrounding men and women and the snake. As stated before, the snake is the vital force of the living being. This vital force always remains awake even when the body and the senses become fatigued and do no work. Even in the state of unconsciousness, when we sleep, the snake or the life force remains intact and awake. Consequently, we dream when we sleep. When the living entity gives up this material body, the vital force still remains intact and is carried to another material body. That is called transmigration or change of the body, and we have come to know this process as death. Actually, there is no death. The vital force always exists with the soul, and when the soul is awakened from so-called sleep, he can see his 11 friends or the active senses in the mind with their various desires, wives. The vital force remains. Even during our sleeping hours, we can understand by virtue of our breathing process that the snake lives by eating the air that passes within this body. Air is exhibited in the form of breathing, and as long as breath is there, one can understand that a sleeping man is alive. Even when the gross body is asleep, the vital force remains active and alive to protect the body. Thus, the snake is described as living and eating air to keep the body fit for life. Interesting verse. Okay. Ete sakyaya sakyo me naranaryascha manada Suptayam mai jagarti nagoyam palaikan purim. So Om Ganat Chimadandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Miritam Genetas Mai Shigurve Namaha. So does anyone have any idea of what the snake is? I know it's the vital force. I mean, that, you know, I can repeat the purport myself too. That's not hard to figure out. What is it? No, it's not the soul. No. What? All right. Nobody knows. Even after hearing the purport. Actually, it's kind of hard to figure it out. I got to give it to you all. So the vital force is actually the subtle air that goes along with the soul It's not the gross air. It's the subtle air that goes along with the soul. Like Prabhupada says here, you know, you take certain hints from Prabhupada's purport. When the living entity gives up this material body, the vital force still remains intact and is carried to another material body. So this is like, it's a very subtle air. And, of course, the Ayurvedic system is based upon the knowledge of the different airs in the body. You know, the subtle airs and the gross airs. And, of course, that's called Vayu. And as we know, there's earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. These are the Vinir Prakriti Ashtada, the eightfold material elements. So this air, not only is it accompanying the soul and an indication of the soul's there and the body still being alive because the soul is in it, but the functioning of this air and the other airs indicates someone's state of health or sickness, either mental health or mental sickness. I mean, generally, we have different theories of sickness and disease in the Western world, and also in India nowadays. And, you know, we have the germ theory. Anyone's heard of the germ theory before? And there's also the demon theory. That was before they had the germ theory. They had the demon theory. There was, who was that person who invented the microscope in the West? It starts with an L. I forget. Anyway, so he was the first one to see germs using a microscope. Now every little kid has a microscope and they see germs and whatever. So there's the germ theory, the demon theory. And, of course, you know, there are demons and there are people who curse you. And just like in Mayapur, there's some stories about how devotees, they would eat cursed food, you know. And not at the temple, but they would go out and they'd buy and then something would grow in their stomach. You know, some big demon would grow in their stomach. So, I mean, there are like demoniac influences or astrological influences, and there are germs, too. We're not denying that. We're not denying there are germs. That's why Prabhupada said one of the causes of disease is uncleanliness. Overeating is a different, we're going to touch upon that in a second. So uncleanliness, because the germs come. However, if one's body or one's life areas are well balanced, then the germs will not affect one. And it's interesting nowadays, because I've been reading a lot about this recently, it's interesting because people's metabolism or people's life areas are not well balanced for a variety of reasons. Either they're eating too much, eating the wrong things, not exercising. It's really important. Like yoga. Yoga is a form of exercise, and it balances the life airs. So it actually makes you healthier when you do yoga, or you do other types of exercise too. But most of the times people now are sedentary. Sedentary means sitting. You know, they sit behind a computer or whatever, or they sit in bed. You know, now that they have iPads, people can sit in bed and work on their computer, right? Previously, you have to sit at a desk. Now you can just sit on your back, not sit, but you can just lay on your back and just like go through all the different things. So people are becoming more and more sedentary. Therefore, diseases are coming up and they're becoming more prominent because of that. What do I mean? I was reading something really funny yesterday about this disease thing. They said one of the main causes of disease now, respiratory disease in people, is their shower head. Did you read that? The shower head. Because they said the shower head keeps these microbes in it. When you turn off the shower, and it's still damp and all the microbes are in it and they're all just like multiplying, having babies. And when you turn on the shower, all the microbes, germs come out and spray you. I mean, it was never a problem before. You know, I got killed by my shower head. I got this morning, I read about it yesterday, and this morning I was just like, a little nervous. Should I go near the thing, you know? Or should I spray it with, you know, bleach or something before I take a shower?
It's supposed to make it worse.
It makes it worse. Oh, my God. She knows more about this than I do. So, but the point is that people, because they're imbalanced, they're succumbing to these things. I mean, there's natural germs around everywhere. I mean, like in Vrindavan, you know, people, or India, anywhere in the past, children used to play in the dirt. You know, they played in the dirt, and then they developed natural immunity to the germs in the dirt. And but now, you find because people's life airs are so disturbed, they're even, like, dying because of peanuts. We never had that before. When I was young, you know, everyone's favorite food was, like, peanut butter, right? Remember? Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I mean, you go to school cafeteria and they're serving peanut butter and jelly, you know, Skippies or whatever. You remember Skippies? So, but nowadays, people's life airs are so disturbed that if you happen to get kissed by someone who's eaten peanut butter within the last week, you die. Not you, but I mean. There have been stories like that. And then on the airplanes, they're not allowed to serve peanuts anymore. Because, you know, people just smell it. They go into, what is it called, anaphylactic shock or something like that. And so in other words, there's so many allergies that are coming out that people didn't have before. You never heard about these things before. I mean, when I was young, you never read some kid was killed by a peanut. Did you? Did you, Mother Christian, when you were young? You know, murder by a peanut. You know, all you have to do nowadays is take a peanut and throw it at someone to kill them. You go to the bank, you want to rob money, you say, I have this peanut in my hand. I'm going to throw it at you unless you give me your money. But people, you know, just people are much more, of course, it's also the onslaught of ongoing Kali Yuga thing. That, you know, people get less intelligent and short-lived, you know, memories going, et cetera, like that. But really it's because of the lifestyle. You know, the lifestyle which is disturbing the life airs. You know, people, what disturbs the life airs? Sedentary lifestyle without exercise, without yoga, improper eating, overeating, or undereating. Like Prabhupada said, there's diseases for overeating, diseases for undereating. What is a disease for overeating? Anyone know? What?
Diabetes.
And the disease? What? Tuberculosis, Prabhupada said, from undereating. You know, so Prabhupada really had a good analysis of the whole thing. And he said, disease, and you know, it's actually a complete understanding of disease. Disease is caused by overeating, you know, uncleanliness, or anxiety, right? He gave those three factors. Now, he touched upon the germ theory, you know, that because that's uncleanliness, right? But then the others have to do with the imbalance of the life airs, you know, overeating, right, and anxiety. When one's in anxiety, the life airs get all disturbed too. You know, you get confused and everything like that. So, of course, we know the disease. One of the main diseases, mental diseases of the modern people, is anxiety, and of course, depression. Those two main things. You know, people get depressed or anxiety. You know, of course, psychiatrists analyze depression and anxiety as modern manifestations of the fight or flight responses. It was like fight. Let's say you want to fight. Someone comes to you and says something and you want to punch him in the nose, but you can't because you go to jail or because it's not socially acceptable. So you internalize that and becomes anxiety. Or someone puts you in so much stress you want to run away, but you can't run away because, you know, it's just not nice or practical. And therefore that becomes depression, so you run away inside. Anyway, that's a certain analysis of the thing. So you see, in addition to all these diseases that have come up, and, you know, really strange diseases, you know, attacked by a showerhead, by peanut, I mean, God, you got to worry about everything now. Right? You know, you're not even safe in the bathroom anymore. Isn't it interesting? You know, where am I going to go? So, of course, I never got sick because of my shower head. So it's in addition to all those gross diseases, you actually have your subtle diseases, which are the mental diseases. And, of course, the mental diseases, they're treating with all these psychotropic drugs. You know, if you're depressed, then you take Zoloft, Prozac. And if you sometimes depressed and sometimes excited, that's manic depressive, then you may take lithium. And, you know, you have all these different personality disorders. I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, when I was young, I mean, just even when I was young, every once in a while you ran into a Looney Tune. That's a crazy person. But it's not like the extent that you have now, isn't it? I mean, things are, because of these life errors being disturbed. And that's really what we're talking about here in this verse. You know, of course, it's a subtle life error. So the yogi is able to manipulate these life errors and live longer, and also able to leave his body at a certain time by taking this particular life error that's mentioned here. This life error accompanies the subtle body. This is mentioned here. It says, when the living entity gives up this material, the vital force still remains intact and is carried to another material body. So in other words, it's sort of the accompaniment of the subtle body to another material body. The life error, this particular life error, doesn't go into the spiritual world with you. So the point is to keep our life errors healthy. And then we have different procedures for doing that. Of course, some people may do hatha yoga, or the exercises that are contained in hatha yoga, whereas people may do other exercises. But Prabhupada actually gave us an interesting system, which is waking up early. Waking up early before 4 o'clock in the morning. And not only is it good for spiritual life, I mean, obviously it's called the Brahma Muhurta hour, and very good for meditating. I mean, if you try to start your rounds later in the day, it's a real struggle. Even if you don't have to go to business. You know, I experienced that one day a year, that's the day after Janmashtami, because that's the only day I don't wake up early, because of obviously, because of being up till 2 o'clock in the morning. So I experienced, you know, you get up the next day and then you just have to really, it takes a lot more concentration, a lot more endeavor to get your rounds in. And all throughout the next day, you know, trying to get your rounds done. Has anyone experienced that? Next day, yeah, isn't it? Whereas in a normal day, right now, I got most of my rounds done. Prabhupada's actually said another thing is if you do 13 rounds before you go and do your business, whatever you're going to do during the day, you won't have anxiety for the rest of the day, or at least it'll be diminished. You know, sometimes devotees come to me and they, because that anxiety is another cause of disturbance of the life errors. They say, you know, I'm so much anxiety. I said, well, just get 13 rounds done in the morning. I remember that. That's one of the first things we learned in the temple. You get most of your rounds done, and then you're not going to be in anxiety. And, you know, devotees do experience that. And that means quality rounds. It doesn't mean, get most of your rounds done while you're driving your car to work in the morning. You know, that's not gonna really help you be free from anxiety. You may be in more anxiety. Hare Krishna, first gear, second gear. And then if someone cuts you off, you rascal! Okay, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Right? You know, what's that demon doing cutting me off? I was with one devotee one time, someone cut them off. And they said, Maharaj, give me permission to go out and punch this person out. You know, it wasn't anyone you know here. It was actually someone quite tall. So, I mean, if you chant... Right? There's no one here in this community. So, but if you chant nice rounds in the morning, then you won't have anxiety. Because why won't you have anxiety? Because if things go bad, as they usually will. What is that called? Murphy's Law? Like if something's supposed to go bad, it will. And it does. Murphy's Law is written into the material. And Krishna wrote Murphy's Law. It's actually Krishna's law. That if something could go wrong, it will go wrong. And so then you're able to see things from a different perspective. And you see things positively. Because even if the whole world falls apart, even if your whole life falls apart, then you still count your blessings. You know, oh, I have Krishna, I have Krishna's holy names, I have the association of devotees. You know, sometimes if you don't chant attentively, you concentrate on the negative. And then you're in more anxiety. Oh no, look at my bank account. Oh no, look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Oh no, the unemployment rate has increased. Oh no, I got fired from my job. And then you get into all these what ifs also. What if I get fired from my job? You know, what if the hurricane comes on Janmasthami when I'm... What if my husband and wife's in a bad mood today? You got all these what ifs. What if this little mark on my skin is like cancer? What if, isn't it? I mean, it's more anxiety than what is. What ifs are more anxiety than what is. You know, because there's billions of what ifs. What is they're limited. You know, what if someone jumps out the window? What if, you know, sometimes what if someone is dead? You know, anyway, so you got all these what if things that put you in anxiety. Of course, that disturbs the life bearers too, and then you get sicker, right? What if, and what is? And then after that, it's overwhelming. So, therefore, that's why it's important to get up early. I'm talking about getting up early in the morning, chanting your rounds attentively, just sitting down, like Prabhupada said, sit properly. Isn't it? It is japa tape. Breathe. Prabhupada said also breathe properly. Because if you don't breathe properly, then you can't concentrate because you won't have enough, you know, these life airs in your body. You'll become asphyxiated. You know, sometimes we find that, you know, people chant their rounds and after that they're just so exhausted. They chant a few rounds. You know, it's like they've gone on a marathon or something. Because they're not breathing properly. So all these things have to do with the life air. So that's the point is. So Prabhupada's given us a system. You wake up early and you go to sleep early. I was just in Toronto and where they don't believe in early programs there. I mean, things start at 10 o'clock at night, you know, on a weekday. And, you know, so for me, it was like a real austerity. You had to do a program, and it began like at 9:30 at night. And, you know, there I was, you know, dreaming with my eyes open. It was like seeing images go through my visual area. So, but that makes you sick. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Right? Benjamin Franklin? Is that right? He said that. So I think Prabhupada also quoted that too, one particular point. Healthy. So we're interested in health. Not health for the benefit of enjoying the senses like was talked about here. You know, the 11 personalities, the mind, the senses, and the sense objects. You understand? Because that's generally why one wants to keep good health, to enjoy. But we want to keep good health to be able to serve Krishna. So in other words, Prabhupada has given us, and the Vedas give us a perfect system, a perfect system of diet too. I'm not using the word diet in the sense of eat less. Because that's like a bad word, you know, diet. Diet in the sense of a prescription for what we should eat, what we shouldn't eat. You know, we eat vegetarian. Like Prabhupada said about tooth decay. He said tooth decay is caused by eating meat. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, you never thought like that. You always thought it was because your tooth decayed because you're eating sweets, and that's why your dentist would always have a big bowl of sweets when you went to visit him. You remember that? When you were young, the dentist would always have, like, all these sweet candies and everything like that. Lollipops so you can get more cavities. So, but Prabhupada said something, you know, in other words, we have faith that Krishna consciousness in the Vedic literature is the Vedic way of life, gives us a healthy way of life, both materially and spiritually. So Prabhupada said that, you know, the cause of cavities is eating meat. And so I was always wondering about that. And then lately the scientists have discovered that to be true. That that when you eat meat, what's called animal protein, it turns the mouth acidic. Or even if you take too much milk products, it works the same way. Is there another thing? Like Prabhupada talked about milk products, that Prabhupada said devotees shouldn't take more than a pound a day, which is two cups. You know, so people like they pile it on with the paneer. We have one devotee in New Zealand who manufactures paneer and sells it as a business. I call him Paneer Raj, the king of paneer. Anyway, he's making money, which is all right. So we just pile it on, and we're drinking the equivalent of 10 pounds of milk, you know, because when you condense the milk into paneer, you understand what I mean? Like how many gallons does it take to make this much paneer, you know? A pervert could answer that, you know. Probably a gallon of milk. 2 gallons. So basically, you're taking the equivalent of a gallon of milk when you're eating your subji. And Prabhupada said not to. You know, so you know, Hare Krishna. And you think you're Krishna conscious. So, but Prabhupada, you know, it's interesting that how Prabhupada really had a practical understanding of even health. And the Vedas have a practical understanding of health. As far as the eating process, the sleeping process, how many hours. Because if you sleep too much, you get sick. And if you sleep too little, you get sick. Like when we first joined the movement, we were all sleeping too little. We fall asleep while we're driving our cars. Not only you get sick, you crash your car. Many it's even worse than getting sick. So in other words, like the yoga is not for one who sleeps too much, sleeps too little, eats too little. Mitya hara vihara sha is what the Bhagavad Gita says. Mitya. Mitya means medium. Medium eating. Mitya hara. So he's just like, he's moderate in his eating, moderate in his sleeping, moderate in his exercise. It's not that you have to go, you know, we exercise, but it's not that you join the bike marathon. You know, what is it, what is that French?
No,
Tour de France. It's not that you have to join the Tour de France and race against Armstrong. And, you know, you just exercise a little. Like Prabhupada said, he attributed his good health to his walking every day. His walking was super aerobic. The rest of us had to run to keep up. You remember that, Burbert? Running to keep up with Prabhupada? You know, I was 21 years old, and Prabhupada was quite older. And we were just running on the beach to keep up with Prabhupada. You know, how is he walking so fast? So, you know, Prabhupada exercised. Moderate exercise. Every morning he exercised. Even when he was in a hotel in Switzerland, and it was too cold to go outside, he would pace in the halls and have his servant keep pushing the light button because the lights there were timed. You understand? In Europe, it's like that. They're interested in saving energy. In America, we're not. So we just turn on the light, it stays on all day long. But in Europe, isn't it? You push the button. Like if you're going downstairs, you push the button, the light stays on for about half a minute. Then it goes off. In America, we leave the lights on. The fan probably criticized this for that. Isn't it? We leave the fans on all day long, the lights on all day long, the computer on all day long. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so Prabhupada would walk every morning. He'd take his exercise like that. And then he would eat very, very moderately. I mean, it's not that Prabhupada ate a lot of sweets in general. You know, like Prabhupada would take a sweet ball and just bite into it. And then we were happy because we got the rest of it with a bite mark on it. You know, we just ate the bite mark, Prabhupada's bite marks. But So the point is that, you know, all these things balance the life heirs. And the Ayurvedic physician, when he examines you, he looks at the life heirs by holding your wrist like this, and he puts his fingers on it, and somehow or other he can tell about the different pulses, the fast pulse, the slow pulse. Sometimes the pulses are called snakes, actually. Just like here in this verse, isn't it? It's like the snake, you know, the jumpy snake or the lazy snake. You know, I've heard expressions like that. You know, is your pulse like a jumpy or a lazy snake? So the same principle that's mentioned here in the verse and the purport. It's all based on these life heirs, you know, the life heirs and the function of the life heirs. And if we understand this, we can be healthy. And if we're healthy, it's easier to execute Krishna consciousness. It's easier to chant. It's easier to concentrate. If you're not healthy, you can say, you know, there's no prerequisites for Krishna consciousness, but because we're conditioned souls, if we're not healthy, it's very hard to concentrate and read and focus on Krishna. So health is very, very important. And so that's, according to this verse, it's the snake who remains awake and keeps the health of the body. And when the snake gets weak, you're in trouble. Okay, so any questions or comments? We've got about 2 minutes left. Yeah, Brother Krishna, please. They'll be attracted.
Then they'll have to be attracted, because it's like, if they see the bodies are like glowing and like red face, that will attract them. We can speak so many words, but if they look at us and they don't see, you know, something that they're aspiring for.
Yeah, no, you have to be a good example. Another thing Prabhupada said, yeah, I'm happy you mentioned supplements and everything. Prabhupada said that Krishna is the fire of digestion. And if Krishna's pleased, he can release all the vitamins. Yeah, sometimes Prabhupada commented on vitamins. I mean, I know I sometimes take vitamins, but the point is that Prabhupada said that Krishna, Jamadagni, he's the fire of digestion, and he can release all the nutrients. That's why the Goswamis, they could eat one pat of butter every day or something like that, because it's just like atomic energy. Does anyone understand what that is? Like, even within one atom is so much power that it can power the whole United States for a week. That's why they have atomic bombs and everything like that. So when Krishna can release the energy within the food, transmute. I mean, even the scientists have not figured out how the energy within the food is transmuted into different substances, and even different elements become the transmuting is there. Even you can make gold if you learn the art of transmuting bell metal. You have to learn that art. It's a question of drinking mercury and then passing urine on it without dying. But, you know, there's certain things. If you're focused and if you're in tune with your life heirs and with Krishna consciousness, then you can accomplish so many things.